The audience is clapping for you, dog.
Nah, hold the applause. Thank you. Too much. No. Gosh, you guys are making me blush. Can I continue? Ladies and gentlemen, you bastard.
The audience is clapping for you, dog.
Nah, hold the applause. Thank you. Too much. No. Gosh, you guys are making me blush. Can I continue?
Yes.
Welcome back to another thrilling episode of Herbal Synergies, the shop. I'm your host, Sinji, with me, my co-host, as always, Herbie.
What's up, listeners?
We're getting
hope y'all doing well.
You're getting a little spammier with the sound effects.
Am I? I don't know. You tell me.
Man, it's like that toxic person in chat that won't stop talking to you.
No, not me.
Yo. What's up, Irby?
You know, same old. Live a life. Life try to live me.
Out on the edge, baby.
Never on the edge.
You got a flavor of the week on that edge?
You know, I might give it to Thorfinn this week.
My man a killer.
Yeah, he did some stuff with some other stuff, and I was like, oh, okay. But
They pushed him. Now he a killer.
Yeah, they did. They pushed him. Now he's a killer. Terrible Chuck.
I crack myself up.
Yeah, you should.
I do.
But continue.
My flavor is also Thorfinn. When he got his second dagger, I'll say.
Yeah.
That was tough. I enjoyed that. I was like, oh boy, ruthless.
Yeah, he was. He was out there just doing what it does. But we can talk more about that later.
Yes, we can. Hey. You know we can't talk about. We're gonna get some negative sound effects. But that live action One Piece came out.
That it did. It came out today.
I watched the first episode, 64 minutes long. I think it covered about 3 or 4 episodes wrapped up.
Hmm. 3 or 4 episodes.
The pacing is kind of weird. Maybe 3 episodes. The pacing is a little strange. We're throwing things in there that like doesn't need to be thrown in there, I feel like. But like, I mean,
what? Is that One Piece MO?
No. Yeah. When you're doing like a live action of like a series and like you're just cramming shit. Like I get why they're doing it. It was just like, do we really need to see this right now? I knew it was coming.
You gotta keep you on your toes, baby.
Stay on my toes. Actually, I'm on my ass.
Yeah.
But liar, liar?
Yeah, going with some liar, liar.
By the way,
might be on fire.
Zoro, I like Zoro's character in the show, by the way.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
I said I like
Zoro. So you said I don't like his character in the show.
No, I like Zoro's character in the show. I'm leaning towards like not liking the guy who's playing Luffy. And I'm undecided about Nami.
What? What makes you undecided about Nami?
I'm going purely off of like how closely they are to the character, and Luffy's character It's a little too technical for me to explain, but Nami's character isn't, she isn't like the fighting type in the anime right away, but like she's like off the bat like the fighting with a staff type in this, and I was just like, ah, that's wrong. Zoro's like the closest to.
Does she even have a staff right now? Because I feel like she shouldn't.
She has a staff right now, and she shouldn't.
Oh man, they'd mess up the whole game.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like this whole, like, I understand having to do it quicker because, like, obviously Netflix isn't gonna make 1,000 episodes, right? Mm-hmm. But like, if you're covering, like say I'm covering Dragon Ball's arc when Raditz shows up, right? And we do a live adaptation to that. I'm not going to cram Raditz and Vegeta and Nappa all in one when we're going to get to there eventually. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, like, showcase this. I'm not going to show Vegeta and Nappa coming to Earth while Raditz is already there. It's just like, we're doing unnecessary things.
Interesting.
Like, there was a fight, like the Captain Morgan fight, the first fight that Luffy and Zoro did together. Luffy freed Zoro way before that. Didn't get the swords for him. Didn't do him the favor. Didn't do anything. He just let him go. And then they somehow miraculously ended up in the same area and fought Captain Morgan. And they double teamed him. I was just like, like, some things probably don't need to be changed, but it's fine. Whatever. I guess we're just doing it for make everyone look cool.
Do it for fun.
Yeah, we're just doing it to make everyone look cool. It's fine. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Liar, liar. Mm-hmm. Episode 2, Loyalty and Performance. Hideo went to where he'll be staying, and that's where he met his assistant. And, well, I guess you can call her his assistant. And her name is Shido Yuki. Shido Yuki. I think that's how you say that. And apparently she's also going to be sleeping there, in which he caught him off guard, and she like thought, was like, no, it's not going to be like that kind of sleeping. I was like, whoa, he wasn't thinking that, but like, whoa.
Yeah.
So she's serving Hirito due to Ichinose's request. The lady that like made him pretend that he's a 7-star, and with them kind of like, he's like trying to get her to relax, and it's time for dinner. She made him like a full course meal, which he absolutely loved, and like had her sit and eat with him, because like, why stand and watch me eat something? I'm not even going to finish all this, because just might as well enjoy with me. So I think she gets pretty comfortable with him pretty quickly, and he also vice versa gets comfortable with her fairly quickly. We learned that there's about 20 or more academies on the island, and they all have a ranking system, which makes sense. An academy with a 7-star student, 7-star students are usually ranked near the top. And we learned that Hirito, even though like he used his star to lie to be a 7-star, he doesn't have access to 7-star shit. Like, he still has 1-star defense abilities and stuff like that. So, honestly, she was basically making it seem like it was a miracle, like, he even got into the academy with his terrible test scores. And the plan to offset all this is that they have a hacker that's just going to rig all the battles for him. I thought when this first came up, I thought they were saying, like, they're just going to choose challengers that's on their side and they're going to throw the match. But no, the hacker is going to, like, make it impossible for him to lose. So Shido Yuki gave Hirito an earpiece where he met Kaguya, the hacker, and they set up an ideal first match for him. And before we didn't even get to see it, he won it. Why? I don't know, because we didn't see it. But
you didn't see it. I saw it.
You saw it? No, you didn't see it. You saw him win, but you didn't see the
match. You don't know.
I do know. I watched the episode in English, so I didn't have to, like, not pay attention.
Damn, that's crazy.
a couple kids were showing Hirito around. They were trying to kiss ass because he's a 7-star, and like his class had a whole tournament to like see who gets to show him around. And that's when like Shidoyuki mentioned another favorable challenger, and my man continued to put up his cocky front. And the challenge was a race. Rina was in the broadcaster room, the announcer room, and the girl he was racing, she like brought out this never seen before motorcycle that like she's always the fastest person, and no one's ever seen her use his motorcycle, so she was like definitely supposed to win. And he too was just doing it on foot, and they're like, yo, he's crazy. So she picked, she thinks he picked obstruction abilities because it's a race, it's a straight line race. And it's a race where anything goes, apparently. So they can interfere with each other as much as they possibly can. And when she started the race, she just went flying and landed on like an Olympic sport cushion, you know, and they do the vault. Yeah, that.
It's not jump, Matt.
And that's when Kaguya went into detail that we're just going to stack these three things to cancel out her three things, and then you're going to make some shit up, but really we're just going to make obstacles appear on the track and knock her out. So, like, they do that, and he just casually walked to the end. And still maintaining his front. And, like, I ain't gonna front. He plays his role perfectly, even though, like, once he's, like, alone, he's freaking out.
Oh, he's freaking out during the thing. He's like, in his head, like, oh my God.
Rina then asks Hirito to meet up in private. And we get to learn more about her situation where, like, she's pretending to be Sarasa because the real Sarasa is kidnapped, but she doesn't want this to hurt the Sarasa's reputation, so that's why she's filling in. And then we find out that Hirito is actually looking for his childhood friend. They decide they might as well work together and exchange numbers, and when they see each other the next day, she was like, kind of like, yo, why didn't he text me? So like, she's probably developing a little feelings for him right off the bat. They're probably like that. A little too soon for me to assume that, but like, it seems like they might be like opening the door for that possibility. And his real excuse for not texting her last night was he was tired and went to sleep.
I mean, that'd be valid though.
That is valid. Okay, so like by this point, second episode, I'm still like, I'm good right now. It's just like my interest hasn't gone down. It's not like, oh my God, this is amazing, but it's not like, oh my God, end this.
I say, I think another little gaming type show you would probably like is
No Game, No Life.
Nah. I told you a long time ago to watch that Hikaru no Go. That one's kind of interesting in a gaming way. But it's not like this one though. But you know, I mean, I guess it was more interest for me because I enjoyed that game. But anyhow, keep going, sir.
No, we're good. I started reading something that like I told you, I like things that like take a different twist that like I'm not expecting in a webtoon or something, because like anime's got all the isekais and webtoons got all the like leveling up things, but this one, it's called World's Strongest Troll, and he goes into a virtual reality where he kind of ends up like because he and the beginner quests, there's two quests they give you right away. The first one is kill a slime, which he did, and the second one's like read 100 books. And apparently the way you do that is you could just like read a couple pages and then boom, that counts as reading a book. But he didn't know that. So he was like actually reading books for like 2 days. he found some interesting information in the book, asked for Valiant Tomb, which is super rare, and which led him to, like, a hidden class quest. And then he became this, like, entity in the game that, like, he's making the game harder for beginner-level players. Like, it made him, like, PK beginner-level players, and, like, the whole... He's, like, turning the whole game unfair because he doesn't even have a leveling system anymore. He has what's called plausibility, and he gets to alter, like, the game a little bit. And it's I don't fully understand it yet, but it's interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I like fighting. I like reading webtoons. I think it's the colors.
Yeah, I think you like the colors. Yeah. All about the colors.
It's all about the Benjamins, dog.
Is it, though?
You.
Very interesting, though.
Shall we continue?
Yes, please, continue.
I think it's your go, bro.
Oh, you didn't talk about how the creepy man showed up at the end?
What creepy man? Was it post credits?
No.
I was gonna say, you know, I don't do post credits. Oh, the creepy man at the the guy who just started laughing above the stairs.
Yeah.
That was weird.
His gonna be his rival.
I forget the right things sometimes. I don't know, dog. Maybe he just wasn't that memorable to me.
Oh, he was, because he was sitting there creeping. Like, who is this creeper man right here? But yeah. I do think it's unethical to be hacking in a world like that, though. But I feel like one day he's eventually going to run up against someone that has hacker-proof software. He's actually going to have to play the game.
But here's the thing, though. Can he not play for stars because people think he's a 7-star? Am I wrong in thinking he should have 2 more stars right now?
I have no idea. I feel like for some reason, like, you might not get stars unless you play someone that's a higher level than you. I feel like I said that somewhere.
But they're all higher level than him.
He's a 7-star.
So I think because he has to protect the lie and 7-stars and max level stars, he can't take stars from people he's beating. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I said. He has to have people higher than him to take stars. So, but yeah. Okay. We are going to go on to the Aristocrat's Otherworldly Adventure, Serving Gods Who Go Too Far. Season 1, Episode 10. Forgot to write the title down, but it's Trials of an A-Rank Adventurer. So this is just too much here. Not really. But yeah, no, it was craziness. I'm like, man, a lot of stuff just didn't make sense. But anyhow, alright. So my man Kain has a new sword, katana, that he got from the first emperor. And so he comes through and he recounts his time in the other world to the king and the advisors. And this is the part that like made me kind of like, really? This is what y'all doing? Y'all worried? The man been missing for like 5 days. Y'all worried about him getting some bandits? When it's like 5 days. I could see if it was like a week and he ain't did the thing. You never gave the man a deadline. You just said it has to be completed soon. So it's like okay, all right, if you say so. But like, even if it was a month, like, come on, man, stop playing with that man. You know he's the savior. But yeah, so that happens, and he has to go save some folks, and the folks that he's saving end up being his old teachers. So yeah, he stops a bandit. You know, the other thing that made me mad too is the people were like, oh, who's this little whippersnapper? Y'all really gonna win? You just seen the man fly in on on his own like recognizance, and y'all try to say, "Oh, we can beat him." Nah, man, you know that man was OP. I don't even know why y'all thought that thought. They just set y'all for failure. Man. And yeah, so you know, he ends up whooping them pretty quickly. He finishes his quest. He takes them back to the place, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I completed my thing. Here's the bandits." And he just goes on back. But yeah, it just upset me, all that. So yeah, so then he goes back to the guild. And this was a funny part here, when his masters were being accosted again, and the villains that were there were like, "Oh, who's this little guy?" And they're like, "Oh no, it's the guy that beat us up the last time I was here." So, yeah, so they realize they already lost and then flee. And then Code shows up, and he's his master's brother, which I kind of should have realized that from the red hair. Because they both had the same red hair, but didn't put two together. Hmm. I guess because there's so much of a delay from seeing her to seeing him. Because she went missing for like 8 episodes.
I felt like her hair was like a lighter color until they were standing side by side.
Yeah. So that's what I was like, oh man. So this is what starts to get funny here. But then they start talking, and they talk about his national level items that he makes. And I'm like, oh man, y'all supposed to keep a secret. So I'm like, oh man, my man's getting out there. And what's his wife's name? Ice or something? Code's wife's name.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. I'll try to find it real quick.
It's his wife.
Yeah, his wife was there. So, yeah, she gets drunk. She's like, "Yeah, I want you to make me one." So now he has to make one, which was pretty funny. So then he's like, "Oh, I got to go to school." So he attends school. He goes. And apparently it's like a testing day. And it's pretty funny because they're like, "Oh, you can't use any spells, Caillou." Your beginner level magic is just too strong. So, like, man, that's funny, hilarious. But before that, let me backtrack a little bit. They had a whole, someone at Adventurers Guild was requested to be a guest teacher, but they flaked out. So the whole group had volunteered to go in. I'm like, oh, okay. So They're doing all the fighting, and then in the classroom portion, his friend showed up to be a surprise instructor, and he was like, "Oh man, y'all supposed to tell me y'all are gonna do this," and so they ask all the kids like, "Hey, how many of you guys are adventurers?" And it's like, "Oh yeah, we're adventurers." And it's like, "Oh well, pull out your gold card so we can pull out your adventure card so we can see," and Kai's like, "Oh no, I don't want to pull it out because at this time, they will probably not care for me too much, and I'm already alienated," because they had already sensed that they're alienated. Mm-hmm. Well, he was alienated. So,
but it's like, hilariously, they were making it worse.
They were making it real worse. I don't know why or how that happened, but it did. So, got my place here. I'm just keep singing a little bit to find it. Oh yeah, so then they go outside for the battle portion, and they devise a plan to show that he's strong, because they had to show the kids. They fought the kids one by one until they realized how strong they were. They're gonna fight Caine, but he miscalculated the class time, and Caine doesn't get to fight.
I just want to know where that line came from.
It came out of nowhere, because I could have sworn they knocked down like 20 kids before he even got to him.
Yeah, bro, ain't no way there's that many kids in your class. They getting 2 rounds in.
Yeah, they did something, but I'm like, oh well. So then he starts to go to fight, and like, oh, time's up in the class, and he's like, oh no, I really want to fight. He's like, sorry, Caine. So then my man Kain, he gets mad, starts rumbling through the forest, destroying stuff. He slices a dragon. I'm like, okay, this is getting outlandish here. And the guard's like, oh, the Dark Prince is coming. It's not Dark Prince, it's Kain. He was going on a rampage, letting all his rage. And then so flash to the actual Dark King, some of the last of his thing. His powers or his prison fell away. He's like, oh, well, it's only like one part of my something, he was saying. I guess I could go without it. So he's free now. Kain's out. And so it begins.
I think the problem with this setup is Kain ain't really doing anything to get better. Like, other than the training he just did, but, like, with the in-between, like, he's done training. He's not training anymore. He's kind of just doing his thing. He might get experience as adventurer with his freaking 200 times XP boost. But, like, all great XP boosts, you hit a cap. Like, it starts slowing down. So, I don't really...
Do you hit a cap?
Yeah, and like an RPG type game where like there's no level cap, yeah, it slows down dramatically.
Not before our boy Jin Sung Woo.
Yeah, no. But no, it did. No, it did slow down a lot for him.
He still leveled up. You said you hit a cap. That's what I was referring to. My man ain't never hit a cap.
No. I was saying like in RPGs where like there's no level cap, it still slows down like dramatically.
Does it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
100%.
Interesting. Say less.
Cannot lie.
You can. Touché. You can deny too. Yeah. But yeah, so that was it. So, yeah.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, we're moving on.
To my ruthless boy that is a Zorfin.
I'm going to call him ruthless because he was a sucker in the beginning.
Bro, he's bona fide thug now.
He might be.
Vinland Saga, Episode 6. The Journey Begins. Okay, so Astolat's crew is bathing in the rain and some savage said he's going to wash off all his fleas and lice. So I was like, bruh. yeah, mess. You can't wash that off with the... Like, I know you can't drink seawater, but you can't wash that off in the water.
Wash what off?
Like, you can't clean your hair in the seawater, bruh.
You could.
Yeah, bro. Like, why you gotta wait for rain to wash off fleas and lice?
Oh, okay, that's what you're saying. I was like, what do you mean? Of course you can clean hair in the seawater.
Yeah, it was the same, right? It was like, oh, now that it's raining, I can wash out all this fleas and lice. I'm like, bruh, y'all pirates. Y'all surrounded by water.
Yeah, I don't think they understood. Back then, people were crazy.
Yeah, like, you never have to stink, bro. Just get in the water real quick.
Yeah,
I don't get that stereotype by pirates. Like, they're dirty. The ship's always dirty. You're surrounded by water. Like, the ship may be arguable because, like, who the fuck wants to clean? But, like, why are you dirty?
Yeah.
Anyways, Thorfinn was clearly still mad and in a corner. That intro, I don't know how you feel about the opening song, but, like, I like it. Even with the screaming towards the end, I like it. And I'm okay with the screaming towards the end because I don't understand none of the words anyway. So, like, there was no way I was going to understand if it was in English, the screaming.
Yeah. The outro always is in English. I'm like, really?
The outro's crazy. In English?
Yeah.
I don't listen to outros.
You don't listen to a lot of things.
You right. So they docked, and there's a bunch of corpses everywhere. Like, Thorfinn was walking, and he, like, saw someone's innards, and he threw up.
Like a sucker.
And yep. And the Vikings and the English are very much still at war. Apparently the Danish uses guys like Askeladd's crew as their army, so they don't really have professional fighters. They just have people to, like, I guess...
mercenaries.
Yeah. It seemed like Askeladd was making a deal with one of Floki's guys, but he got killed by an arrow, and now the crew was being ambushed by a rain of arrows. Askeladd's men, being the true Viking slash pirates they are, I don't know what to call them, because they call them both... they were just charging the attackers who had bows and arrows, with no cane or care in the world. They were just taking... If they got hit by an arrow, they got hit by an arrow. It is what it is. Thorfinn was getting attacked by one of the guys, like, are you with the pirates? And, like, ultimately decided he was going to attack him. Askeladd did save him, but, like, it also looked like he stabbed him, too. But the way,
a little bit.
Yeah, but the way Thorfinn was moving, was like, did he stab him? Because, like, that's sort of the kind of deep, bro. For you to just be walking around like you didn't just get stabbed by that big ass sword.
I think the tip touched him, and the blood fell on the tip of the sword, fell onto him. That's the only thing I could think of.
Because it seemed like it went deep. Like, damn, Askeladd, that shit looks like it went deep. And he goes, my bad, I thought you already got killed. The weak don't survive long in this battleground. So, yeah. It rang in Thorfinn's mind that, like, as I said, he'll give him a proper duel when he accomplishes something on battlefield. And then, like, lo and behold, he might be scared, but he's witnessing a battlefield. So, he went for it, and a guy went to kill him, and, like, he just went in with his dagger and got him in the stomach. He got kicked, which I think knocked the wind out of him a little bit, but, like, he still went back at it, and he ended up getting his first kill. And then, like, screaming into the air. Like, my man is not... He's, like, kind of, like, Sasuke-level pissed. Like, he's not trying to let this go.
Have you ever taken a life? You know how hard it is to take a life?
I don't know. Haven't had to do it yet. I don't think it's hard to take one.
It might not be.
It might be hard to deal with it after, depending on your personality, but it's not. It's really not hard to take one.
Being, you heard it here first, folks. My man's a serial killer.
Nah, man, let's be realistic here. People are fragile.
You're fragile.
You can accidentally run someone over. You can purposely run someone over if you want to. That can take a life. Push someone off a cliff, push someone down the stairs. These are all things that can take a life.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I?
I don't know.
Thorfinn got him his first kill, blah, blah, blah. And as the battle is progressing, as we were looking through the time lapses, it already seemed like Thorfinn was having an easier time killing people, because he already broke. Once you get over the first one in these type of shows, it becomes easier and easier for the person who's doing it to do it. Yeah, so eventually he's killing people left and right. And, like, when it came time for Askeladd to be in danger, Thorfinn threw his dagger and, like, saved him. And, like, that may have solely been because it's a only I'm going to kill you type of thing. So... fast forward a little bit. Thorfinn, although he's probably not happy about it, he's basically a part of this crew now. He's scouting for them. Askeladd asks him to scout, and he did some gesture when Thorfinn asked why him. I didn't really get it. Maybe he was signaling he's a kid and he'll be less suspicious. But my man ends up killing three people by himself. He killed one, which I assume was a surprise attack. And then the two almost got the drop on him, but, like, he ended up grabbing the one guy's blade, stabbing him, and then stabbing the other guy. And which he killed two more people after that. Was trapped when the last two was going.
Yeah.
So the guards are chasing him. They have dogs chasing him, and poor dogs, man. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Thorfinn kills the dogs. He was a little, I guess he was a little wounded because he ended up floating in the river, knocked out on, passed out on a tree, a fallen tree.
Yeah.
these two girls where this mother and daughter, where the mother was trash talking the current ruler, I think the king, for like picking fights with the Danes, where the last king welcomed them, and that's why this war is going on. They come across Dorfin.
What? I say the war mostly came on because this new king decided to slaughter all the Danes that resided in the country.
That's the only reason, which I don't know what he had against them, but that's the only reason there's a war right now. So they come across Dorfin and like they bring him to their house, and you know they wash his clothes, they wrap his wound, and they feed him. They can't really understand each other, but like you find out that the mother lost her son and
through the cold.
Yeah, due to a cold. He died with a cold. And we learned while he was with the, I already had a feeling, this lady's gonna die. I don't know if she's actually gonna die, but like she's giving me gonna die vibes. But Thorfinn had a moment that was kind of funny when, like, the daughter started getting itchy and, like, Thorfinn scratched his head and all these fleas were coming out. So the mother was, like, grooming his hair, and that's when a guy on a horse showed up, said he was looking for a kid. And my man already had a dagger ready. But she lied and said it was her kid, and he went away peacefully. And, like, even though he couldn't understand her, he, like, understood the gestures and what she was doing and how, like, she was defending him. I don't know if you noticed, but, like, Thorfinn, when he had his shirt off, he had a pretty decent scar on his shoulder going into his chest. And I would love to know where he got that from, but
his Battlefield Adventures.
Yeah.
That was from when the guy first sliced him up when he tried to run away.
Maybe. But also, given how many people he's killed and how active he's been with Askeladd's crew, my man has, like, no definition in his torso.
Yeah.
Like, you see other animes, these kids are, like, freaking ripped. Like, Killua and things like that. Like, my man had a basic kid body. But Thorfinn finally got better, and like he knew what he still had to do because Askeladd's crew was waiting for him. And the best way he could, slowly, he turned around and told them to run. He sent the signal to have the crew come in here, and when the villagers tried to clear out the fire, they noticed Askeladd's crew showing up. And when Thorfinn turned around and saw... No, I skipped the part. The guys on the horses showed up. Thorfinn killed them all. And then he made eye contact with the lady, the mother that was helping him. And, like, you saw guilt on his face. But then as Askeladd's crew was spotted, he was like, "I told you to run. I said it in plain English for you." And I don't know what she was feeling. Maybe she was just, like, accepting it. Maybe she was trying to fill in the void that her son left. And it was just like, oh, man, I tried to... This kid that I saved is the reason this village is getting ransacked.
Yeah.
And Thorfinn clearly felt guilty, but, like, he took a deep breath and, like, his eyes got darker. So, like, either another emotion within him died, or, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, that's how it went through in my head. Like, he just came a little more desensitized towards life.
Or the killing fields.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still very much into Vinland Saga.
Are you?
Yeah, I kind of want to watch all of it, but like it is what it is.
You kind of want to watch all of it. That's what you say, huh?
But it is what it is. I have other things I can watch.
Like what?
Like the current new One Piece.
Oh, word. But yeah, I think it was at the end of the episode, it was fun. Well, fitting how Thor thought about his own family and his other stuff when he saw the lady. So I was like, oh, he's not totally dead on the inside yet. But he's getting there.
He's getting there.
Yeah, eventually he'll get there. But not anytime soon. My boy Thorfinn.
That's how we be.
Do it gotta be like that, though?
Listen, it don't gotta be, but it is.
You might be like that.
I ain't, though.
You.
Now, would you like to talk about Jujutsu?
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that Jujutsu Kaisen.
Do it.
Chapter 233. So they talk a little bit, and then, like, my man Gojo, his healing slowing down. The fight's taking a toll on him. He's wearing down. And then the possibility people start thinking about that Gojo could lose. And Gojo has this, like, inner monologue where they talk about it, and there's like, oh, yeah, Gojo, he kind of, I don't know if he relishes the fact that he has to really put his skills to the test because he can't remember the last time he lost. And he was like, it's kind of lonely being the strongest or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. So he's having fun with the fight. And they're fighting through him and Sukuna. And Sukuna hits my boy with a piercing blood bullet. And the Maharanga is fighting. And it's like 2-1, and then Gojo's like, oh, you're going 2-1, and then Sukuna's like, oh, he summoned another little monster-type creature, and was like, oh, now it's 3-1. And then Gojo's fighting, he's like, oh, I gotta end this in one shot the next time, because it was looking kind of hairy for the boy. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna use Unlimited Hollow. I was like, oh, I can't remember what that technique was, but it sounds cool.
I can't either. I was like, that's not the purple one, right? I was like, I can't tell.
No. Yeah, I was like, oh, man.
It seems like it should be concluding soon.
Probably another 60 pages. Yeah. But, yeah, that was it. That was all we had this week. I'll say next week I'll be picking two new shows.
Oh, that's right. We're getting close to the end of Kiyum.
Well, no, I just don't watch a Kiyum. I'm just gonna pick two new shows. There's like three more episodes left. I'm gonna pick two new shows.
It's hilarious. Anything else you want to talk about, Ruby?
We'll finish it out and I'll pick a new one. No, not really.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for watching. If you enjoyed, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.
Peace.